Are there any questions or anything to share?
Mm-hmm. And if to rest with focusing on the place in the body to go inside that is the same. Is there a difference in resting in the family compared to laying the same position with thoughts?
I'm not sure I understood. No. So she has a question about resting. She has a lot of thoughts taking her every 2 seconds, and yes, someone can translate.
Is there a difference in resting? When you rest out of the guidance of being in a place that is good in the body, like nice and... Or being with thoughts, but being in the same position of resting. Like, do you dwell on thoughts or?
So now I'll check if I understood. One thing that happens is lying down to meditate and coming into a place that feels good in the body and staying there. When the thoughts come, coming back. Which, in lying down, it's usually a different way of coming back. It's less mental. It's like a more embodied gathering. So it's also possible lying down, I'm coming into a place in the body, or I'm resting, hearing, and being with sounds. And then my mind goes to thoughts, and I check out the experience of thought. Is that your question? If those two ways are okay? Kind of? No. Okay. Let's get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And then I ask myself if it's the same position, lying down. But one thing, when I concentrate and meditate with some pleasant place in body, and from the other thing is when I'm same lying down, but my thoughts, I'm with my thoughts.
But you're with your thoughts mindfully, or you're eaten by your thoughts? Like you're, okay, I notice thinking as thinking. Okay. Okay, so resting, just resting, is good, but that's not really the main thing that we're doing here. But since we could sometimes have the chance to rest and meanwhile also gather into a place in the body that feels good and notice, I'm distracted. Huh. What is the experience of thinking for a while? Where do thoughts come from? How does this feel in my body? Or just the snapshot of, it's thinking. Something else has the leverage. Leverage.
Manof.
To notice. It's thinking. And then maybe I drop back to my place in the body. So it's if I describe it that way, it's a similar practice to if someone is sitting. What's possible as a way of making effort lying down is, I consider, usually a deeper way. Less mental, less force, less me. More discovering awareness rather than doing attention. So we can be resting, and that also helps it be more available to fall into direct experience of awareness happening. Because resting is like coming into, I mean, what is rest, actually? There's a way that rest and meditation are similar. I think I have to change the microphone. If I turn this off, will it stop the recording? Okay, excuse me. Is it on? Nope. Wait. Is it on? It is and it isn't. Over there it's not. Volume possible? Okay. Okay, now it's better. It's okay. Thank you. It's not okay? Are you just, you're teasing me? Or it's not loud enough? Okay. Okay, sorry. It is interesting to think about what rest is. There's something that we sometimes can do. Could anyone describe how you rest? But how does lying down, focusing on breathing, become rest? Because I could do that and be very unrestful as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yep. Sometimes. So it's. The physiology knows how to slow down in certain conditions that happens more easily. And then a change in the state of the brain and the body happens that then we would call rest. What does rest feel like? Yes.
I feel like it's kind of falling back into something.
Mm-hmm. Feeling like falling back into something. Yes. Yeah. You have less?
Something.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Less, and it's kind of surrendering.
Mm-hmm. Good. So she's saying there's less of something, I have less, and surrendering. The feeling of surrendering. And then in that state, what happens? Sorry? What happens? The tension is less, goes away. Mm-hmm. Less resistance. Mm-hmm. So even in rest, even the hard things, there's less resistance while we're in the state of resting, or even a little bit, not to make it as a single state, but.
Is something still centered?
Something self-centered what? I can rest. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, maybe. Sometimes being in a room with someone who's really relaxed could be annoying, and other times it could really be a little bit like, oh. So sometimes we might be able to help each other rest by resting. So self-centered in the sense of I need to go with an inner gravity that somehow becomes a state or a range of states. And in that range of states, in that state, things that were problematic 5 minutes ago are less with me. There's less of it. And I'm more with something that could be described as back by some people. It can be different for different people. And we also know with sleep that all kinds of things also go on when we have less, more back. So immunity and cleaning the brain and learning. And so if we would describe to someone how to rest, we would give all the technical advice and we would tell what happens when. Would that be enough? Does that make rest? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Very good. So what's the difference between being shut down, being disconnected, and rest? On some parts, if we would have a list, there are some things that are the same. I care less about things that were problematic, for example. I'm less activated. That could be also disconnected, dissociated. So we didn't talk about any quality of rest. To me, I feel the word dewy. What is dewy? I can remember. Tall? No. Yeah? Okay, tall. Well, after how many times have I come to Israel? Tall. Dewy. Dewy. Dewy, dewy. So, again, on paper, it could sound like disconnection to say, "When I interfere less." But what Anushkaji is describing is I'm interfering less because there's a sense of trust, of being carried, not maybe needing to do it. I don't need to engineer something. I can be part of, I am part of something. Something can take care of and with me. And maybe in a shutdown or disconnect, we might be able to notice that shutdown version of interference as different from the dewy feeling. It's different. It takes experience to know when I'm shut down, it's not dewy. Dewy. Well, let's hear. When you rest, what does it feel like to you? I gave my word. Okay, soft. And also he's saying maybe soft, which is part of the restful quality, that it's not soft. Definitely. And the fingers like this, it's something that gives a sense of something fine and hard to put into words, maybe. Dewey. Maybe one for fun, one more quality, texture. Mm-hmm. A feeling that something is swallowing me, but that could sound really awful, and it could also it could also sound like this connection is swallowing me. Like if on paper, if you could say it feels like it's swallowing it could feel, you know, terrible that the disconnection is swallowing me. But when you're describing it and the way, the tone of voice, it gives us a sense of yum, like the surrender, the coming into the whole, whole, rather than the hole. Falling into a bowl, and she's like this. A hole, okay. Mm-hmm. Trying to go up and not being scared to go down. Again, on paper, on our two lists, that could still be paper in words as easily as it could be coming home. Yeah. So in rest, not being afraid to go down, there's something generous, not fighting. I would say not dry, and I'm not trying to go up, but that doesn't mean there's nothing coming up. Something can come up. And so it's kind of afterwards, like having fallen into the hole and been swallowed by the hole, is something lifting up? Or is it stuck down? That might be a way of checking. But also just these things that are harder to describe, like feeling at home, is not a feeling of disconnection. Nourishing is not a feeling of disconnection. Myself, yeah, is not a feeling of disconnection. Open. Who said that? Realigned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how can I rest? And she's saying, how can I rest without this tension that comes? And she's saying, maybe trust. But I don't find that we can just trust. So another maybe contrast between shut down or disconnect and home is, I like the word receptive. If I'm disconnected, I'm absolutely not receptive. If I'm swallowed and in the ground and there's receptivity. So we also can't, I don't think, just do receptivity. But I think it's a little closer than trust. It is a form of a little bit of trust. Don't say it out loud. Because we're not trained in trust. We're trained in doubt. So noticing what receptivity feels like. especially when it feels good. When receptivity gets clicked into the sense of lack, we can check, is it still receptive? That's kind of my question from the other day. Five, six options. Yeah? Sometimes the ground is receptive to rain. And sometimes it's been so long without rain that the rain can't get in at first. So I really think it can help to consider ourselves like landscapes. We've been shaped by forces beyond our control, but we can notice how the energies move through that landscape and how they don't move. taking it less personally, but still with care. Finding what might help some rain come in. So maybe we can have another example. So if we would give someone written instructions or even verbal instructions how to rest, it doesn't mean they could. They could study it. They could know everything about rest. It doesn't mean they could rest. But also a baby can rest. Someone who's never studied can rest. And someone who has studied can rest. So it's not about yes or no studies. It's yes, human. Something in us has the possibility to rest sometimes. Sometimes we lose track of it more. Sometimes we get momentum with it. So let's also think about something like just riding a bicycle. Again, we could study bicycles. We could have really clear instructions about how to ride a bicycle. How many people here know how to ride a bicycle? Do you know how to ride a bicycle? You don't have to, but you might know how to ride a bicycle. And there were hopefully people giving you some hints, maybe holding the bike for you sometimes, and then you tried and fell, and then you rode the bicycle for a little while. And that's different. Do you remember that feeling? When you, one of the first times, you found yourself riding the bicycle? It came together. And you were like, whoa. And if you were like me, I immediately started trying to do what my older brother was doing, doing like swirls around the street and crashing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that riding a bike is the same. Yeah, I'm not saying it's the same. I agree. But I think there's something we can catch in this more gross example of riding a bike, where we can have information, we can have explicit instruction, and that's not the same. It can help or it can not help, but the actual getting the hang of riding the bike has a feeling. And so what I want to come to is how meditation might be, seems to be, another natural capacity I mentioned before that we can receive instruction about. And that might help. But it in a way has almost nothing to do with actually when it comes together. And that's okay. That's nothing wrong. But if we could keep with this point, that it's not about being obedient to the instructions, not staying on the paper, but making it our own. Floating for resting. for meditating, resting. Thank you. Good. So floating is another word. Do we falling back and having less of something? Soft, soft. Was there another one? And then floating. And the swallowed. No, it's a really, it's very descriptive for someone. It's very experiential. It's very experiential. And actually, that's a great example, because we could, what if we imagine that someone trademarks the swallowing technique, being swallowed into meditation technique, and people would approach it and be like, I'm doing the technique exactly as it's written, but I feel terrible. I'm being swallowed by something else. So, also on retreat, it's another thing that there's like the on paper retreat, and then there's the actual retreat. And the on paper retreat includes, like I've said, some of the logistics and some instructions. It's not that there's no relationship between what's on paper and what happens. But to translate or to leap or to swallow yourself, to slip or slide or resonate or whatever, from where it says there's a schedule and we say, please come early and stay till the end. That's on paper, but then it actually makes a real container. And it's not like if someone accidentally was like, oh, this is such good food, and oh, like, no problem. If something slips out that's not exactly silent every single moment. It's not a matter for shame. It's not a matter for shame. But it is a matter of feeling through the paper retreat to the actual thing, which is not really a thing, but it is real. And if we can go a little further with that, where we have not only what we propose as the team of the paper retreat, but what each one of us has come with as our internal paper retreat, the internal rules and regulations, expectations, fantasies, fears, to kind of feel more encouraged to leave that behind now that we're a little more in here. And being in here together, it's okay. Everybody has their ups and downs and inside outs, because there's something happening together. It's okay when you experience yourself as separate, like a particle. You're still in a wave. And that practice of acknowledging a feeling separate and leaving room for the possibility that that feeling separate is not the only truth. It might be that half the people in the room are feeling separate in that moment. And it's part of the wave, feeling separate. I can't share with you, because of keeping confidential people's experiences, how many things you have in common. And to kind of tap into that. So making it So making it means making the retreat your own, making meditation your own, while continuing to care for that real phenomenon of an actual container and field and wave that you are supported by and supporting. It's a really radical, simple experience that could be a good model for our new culture that we need. We're already in a life, a living, that we can have support from and support. And that interflow and that mutuality, mutual support, mutuality in Hebrew? Hadadiut. Meaning it's going not just both ways, but it's going many ways. So we can play with noticing our outgoing over alertness that we're trained in and come inside for a while as not separating from life, but checking out if I follow an inner gravity that's hard to catch, but still real and really inner, I may find my way to those experiences people talk about, whereby going really inner, and we probably don't trust enough to go very inner, so it's courage and curiosity. Going very inner with an inner gravity, not my idea of inner, but an inner gravity a little longer than is comfortable to our habits. We may find how in we are, how in community, how in life, how in intimacy, mutuality, already we are. I want to give an example from Gautam Buddha's life about making it your own. And so just hearing how in your own retreat, in your own life, in your own practice, we really want you to make it your own. So it's a real encouragement to feel what are the situations that help feel your openness, that help you feel that falling back or being swallowed or whatever. And feeling that sometimes once you have permission to go off the structure, what's going to allow you to come back to the structure in a way that is in the retreat field. Otherwise, it's a self-retreat, which is also good, but that's not what we're doing. So it's a story many of you would have heard, and many of you would have heard it from me at least 5 or 6 times. And it's a great, great moment. Although I think for Gautam, it was a moment, I really think he was probably suicidal. I'm not exaggerating. We might be. Maybe he wasn't, but we might be in that moment. So he got a kick. He'd been experiencing life a certain way. Recently on the retreat in France, a couple weeks ago, where, by the way, we had no walls, no fan, no AC, and it was like 30-something every day, and no water to jump into, and people from England and Holland were there. So in case that helps with the sometimes it's too cold and sometimes it's too hot, part of this retreat. I kind of had a click on the retreat a couple of weeks ago that, according to some sources, it was 2 days after Gotama's son was born that he left home. And so maybe that had something to do with it. Whatever it was, he was deeply unsettled from his normal routine. And he left. And he left with a quest to find what is possible that's not just a routine. And he went to the teachers who were in his area the most kind of respected and learned from them, and he got good at their techniques. But he wasn't satisfied. And he kept going, and he took it further and further, like you do, until he hit a wall. And this is where we could go into slow motion now. He realized nothing had helped. It was just a new routine. If we had that kind of wall, I wish for us that confidence to hit the wall. To like, ugh. We might realize a habitual way we've been living that we thought was going to help us, and we realize it's not helping. It's only hurting. A belief system, an ideology, a loyalty to something that's not alive for us. So I wish for us the confidence to be hopeless, to be in despair, to realize some of what we've been doing has been a cover-up. And not take that into, oh my God, I have been just that. Didn't help. After the shock, maybe a moment to feel, or to not a moment, but a moment-sized little bit inside that is still interested in what is possible in a human being's life stream. Anyway, I am a complete failure, but so. Sometimes it's like, great. The worst case scenario happened. Now I'm free to really, what do I want again? What did I actually want? The receptivity refines through our failures. And to be stopped is not necessarily a failure. To let your own experience feed back to you, no, this is not helping. It doesn't matter what trademark it got of that technique, or how much you paid for it, or how many people are doing it, or how long that text has been around. It might be good for some people. It's not connecting with you. Can you hear how it's not the kind of confidence that we think of? But it could be a kind of confidence. It's like being cracked and finding that life is actually streaming through the crack. And that is, yeah. So this confidence then says, maybe there's another way, which really means maybe there's a way. So when you hear yourself telling yourself failure, blah, 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 not good enough, blah, 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 maybe there's a way. Through that crack for life to stream. And as you may know, what came to him was a memory from childhood. What could be more easily dismissed? You're at the end of your rope. You did all the serious techniques. You were the best at it, and it didn't help you. And what your mind gives you as a memory from childhood? Lying happily under a tree? Seriously? Yes. And then this kind of, maybe we can call it courage instead of confidence. Or maybe it's like not even quite courage. Courage may know where it's going. This is a yes that happens because we're cracked. Life is streaming through. We have no other options that we're interested in. So part of our way can be, let's get less interested in the options that we're not interested in. So the one option streaming through can carry us. Because the idea comes, that memory from childhood, if we can call that an idea, or if we can call it like a sensory image, scene, gift that we resonate with. And it's like something in us says, maybe that's the way. And it's like we say, no way. That's what happened for him. Maybe there's another way. Maybe this is the way. No way. It's too scary. So then might be the time for courage. And the cool thing about this discovery, which we could call like a remembering, like we had the other day about remembering, rediscovering an instinct, this is that. It's a remembering, a coming back. It's coming back to us, and we're coming back to it. It's not really an it, but coming back to this natural ability to follow through on meditation. In the text, it just says, and that's the first jhana, that's the first like special meditative state, and he followed it, and got enlightened. And it doesn't talk about the gap in the story where he was taught the subtle state, the highest subtle states. And he practiced them and he was the best at it. So if he was the best at the highest subtle state as a technique already, and that didn't satisfy him, that exactly did not satisfy him. Why is he going back to kindergarten, and why does he think that's going to help him? A memory from childhood, lying under a tree, feeling pleasure in the body and happiness for no reason. Just a smile comes to the cells. Perhaps because it's starting to come together. He's starting to ride the bike. His own bike. That's a nice image in his robes. The tricky part then is something that's natural to us starts to come back. And we want to practice that. We want to put it into practice. We want to realize that. We want to follow through on that. but it's natural, and that's the trick. If it's not natural, it's not made our own. We're not riding the bike. We're reading the instructions again. Or eating the instructions, or whatever. And it's not nourishing, and it's not taking us deep. So making it your own, the retreat and meditation, it's almost like a spacewalk or something. There's a lot of gap between the instructions and the happening. And that's good. Because they're two completely different things. And if we can accept that, the technique is only helpful in as much as it prepares me and helps me resonate in that natural frequency. So I remember, oh yeah. And let that swallow. So on retreat, there can be a funny thing that happens where we're here and we're hoping maybe to go inside. And yet, of all places in the world, it can be the place that you feel most constantly watched. The feeling always someone is watching how you're walking, how you're eating, how much food you're taking, how much food you're throwing away, how you're chopping the vegetables, how you're waiting in line for the toilet, how you're brushing your teeth. They may or may not be, but it's easy to feel that way. Does anybody find that? Some people. And at the same time, we are more and more in our own bubble. We forget that we might need to wash our underarms from time to time because we're so close together. We're just in our bubble. And so watched. Whether we are watched or not, I'm not saying that it's always true. But I think it can help two things. One is really go inside yourself. Maybe we're feeling watched because we're doing so much watching. Comparing how they're doing it. We might not even be actually watching, but we're inside our bubble thinking they're so peaceful. Or unpeaceful. I'm the only one who fill in the blank. So we're watching with our eyes closed. So to go more inner, inside yourself. To catch when you're thinking about other people, even if it's what you think they think about you, that's you thinking. That's not them thinking. When you think that you're pulling in everybody's thoughts in the whole room, that's you thinking. Thought is a mysterious thing, who knows, but that's a thought in your mind that you're pulling in everybody's thoughts. So thinking as thinking. Thinking as thinking is not so inner. So thinking as thinking is preparation to finally come inside myself. If and when we can. To be interested in what's inner. And that's where we want you to really practice what helps you. Be receptive to welcoming yourself. And to being welcomed in yourself. So some symptoms of coming inner, coming inside. The word alignment came up earlier. Alignment might start to happen. On the way from previous way of organizing myself, body, mind, life, to alignment, often comes a time of disorientation. I mean, how could it not? There's this organization, which we've gotten used to, it's fine. But there's something somewhere in here that would like to do something different. And maybe along the way, it does something even more weird. And we have our stories about because my mother or something. And maybe that's partly true. But is it helpful to think about that much? Probably not. Feeling inside yourself, even when it's weird. And then the next little step, as Odelia G said yesterday, let's not try to do the third step over there. But let's just kind of assume there's a step going on right now. And if my thought says, oh, nothing is happening, do you want to believe that? Or do you want to feel, what's this weird sensation? Or maybe there's a picture of a rose or a memory of a river or all the ways that actually the mind sometimes actually starts to come in and help. There was a question about that this morning. I didn't see who handed the note, but can the mind help is the summary. Or not. And either way, how do we live with this thing? So here's where I can have a really nice, simple, clear answer. Yes, the mind can help. It can help in these particular ways, like that memory from childhood where you felt good lying under the tree or swimming or whatever it was. That's the mind helping. And then when we give up on all that, oh, I'm such a failure, if only I'd done better on my meditation practice, or if only I had never meditated ever, or whatever. Giving up on that rather than on yourself, or not even yourself, life stream. That maybe there's a way. And maybe this way that comes that seems like almost nothing and too good to be true at the same time is the step that's happening. And so that's also the mind helping. Maybe this is the way, even though I'm scared, I'm going. We can also help the mind to help by training it away from the usual habits. So where we've practiced worrying and worst case scenario and also best case scenario as a kind of hope that takes me outside, we can train the mind to come inside an experience of gratefulness, an experience of joy, an experience that we don't know what to call it, but here it came. And I'm interested. It's curious. It's weird. And I'm not trying to write the instruction manual about it. I'm in it for a while until that's done. And then the next time the foot moves for the next step. So I wanted to give... Similarly, we can train the mind to come to the 90% and get into it. Feeling welcome, what does it feel like? Looking at the sky, what does it feel like? Dancing in the breeze, what does it feel like? Not just the breeze and not just the permission, but being in a flow, what does it feel like? And I want to also give something to play with around alignment. Especially if there's that feeling of being watched as you're walking around or standing in line, etc. So, feeling how it feels to be watched, even if you're not being watched, but the inner movie is being watched. What happens to your body? What happens in your mind? Just acknowledgement, if that goes on. And then playing with different connections for example, between giving some room to the chest, to the heart, physical chest, through the arms and hands. It might help to play around with the hands and arms to have a little space in here. Or it might be you feel space here and can you let it, do you want to let it kind of spread through the arms like a horizon? And is there a connection between when the heart feels a little bit more free, a little bit more space, more allowed, and how the spine, the backbone is doing and what it's doing? Sometimes when there's a little bit more freedom around here, we realize a second step could be, I feel my back, or my back has, can go the other way, give my back a little bit more room. And then how is it in your chest and arms? It might be like, how is it in your chest and arms? Like one day and another day, 1 week and another week, 1 year and another year. Also, then in the hips, can be really cool to play with. If you know where your sitting bones are, then feel, imagine the whole hips, pelvic bone, and sitting bones as all one piece that's part of the front of your body, leaving room for your backbone. If you don't know where your bones are, let's find them. So it's the lower part of the pelvis that we sit on, the bones in the buttocks, near the anus, near all those sensitive parts, one on each side usually. And if you don't feel comfortable finding them now, you can find them somewhere else. So feeling, and actually it would really be better, in fact, to find them from the front, to invite the sitting bones, which we think of as back there, just for a while to be part of the front, part of the pubic bone, part of the front hips. And feel if it gives a little bit something weird in the back, a little more space, more room, loose. This will be a classic moment for me, along with breastfeeding my child in front of about 150 people or so under a cloth. So we can play with those three places, anybody who wants to, feeling around in the pelvic hip bones, pubic bones. Also between the pubic bone and the front, imagining or feeling there's a space between the two bones coming together, rather than one solid thing. That can be really cool, maybe in walking meditation. So play around with those sort of, that down area, that back vertical area, and this, okay, center, and maybe the arms, or maybe the arms to the center. Some, one, both, neither. The last one, the heart one, or the pubic bone one? Okay, the pubic bone in the front is two bones coming together. It's not one piece. I mean, it might sometimes fuse as one piece, but it's originally two bones that come together, and it's a joint, actually. So it could be just imagining lightly or feeling into a possibility of space between the two bones in the front, just to feel what does that do? What happens? And it can also just help to be coming into this weird, mysterious thing called a body, which, I mean, another wish I have. I wish for you that confidence when you hit the wall, or preferably you start shedding stuff and enjoying falling back and having less, so it's not necessarily about hitting a wall. Like, oh my God, what do I want? What does life want? What's helpful? That place, that you have the courage to wait and listen and be moved by maybe there's a way. I also wish This is a different kind, but it's also, I think, important, strong wish, that we could really get into a practice, a path to be comfortable in our bodies as they are. If we imagine how much human energy every moment of the day and night is going into uncomfortableness in our bodies. Imagine if we could feel the bodies in a radically different way. Maybe the way we like trees, no matter what shape they are, and weird trees are cool. Weird meaning all trees are weird, but also some trees are more different than others. And they're more cool. When the trees are all like this, it's kind of like, is that a tree? It's not a forest. Don't be a plantation tree. Don't be an industrial product. How is the translation zone? Is it too fast or is it okay? Wonderful. So a few other examples of what can happen in the process of making it our own. Playfulness or spontaneity. So a little bit like that memory that Gautam had. That was a spontaneous thing. He was open, he was desperate, he was therefore receptive. He was willing to be in touch with what is possible in a human life. And nothing had matched. All the maps he'd given hadn't matched his life stream. And so he was willing to have something off the map. He was receptive. So that was a spontaneous moment. We could also imagine it as a playful moment and a remembering moment. And we could even, I like to, today it's sort of like, in the text, at the tradition, there's kind of a little bit like school teams or something, like the Buddhist tradition is better than those teachers he had who knew nothing or whatever. But at the time, they were people who meditated in the same area and were interested. Like we could reimagine his teachers. Maybe even they did their best to teach him what they knew, but he had to make it his own. Maybe when he made it his own, maybe, he was thankful to those guys. A remembering, a having less, falling back. And so appreciation can be part of it. Not like false appreciation of teachers that were not helpful, but if it comes around, like, oh, that's what they were saying. And then 10 years later, oh, that's what they were saying about the same point. And rather than taking that as a failure, like, wow, that also rings true now, 10 years later. That's also about love. Whoa. I thought I knew about love. Now this is, wow. I thought I knew about awareness. Oh my gosh. And I want to come back to the thing I keep saying of if we could approach ourselves as if it's like a landscape, an inner landscape. It is like an inner landscape, actually. So, so much. There's life in us already. And it's shaped already. And it has generative, restorative, that's a hard word. Anybody? Powers in it. it can come back. Maybe not to exactly what it might have been theoretically in Eden. But it can come back to itself, to myself. Gardening, there's always more to do than we can do. And we do what we can. That's not the main happening. The main happening is a generosity that is boundless. It's totally mind-blowing. So finding the measure, like the what's the work, which is really play, that is possible. Maybe it feels a little just beyond what you thought you can do. That's probably about a good fit. Yeah. So if we're gardeners of our inner landscape, we need to be in there to feel what's happening. And there's always more work to do than what. So if I go into my garden, it's just a matter of, well, I have 5 minutes, so I'll tie up the tomato, this one tomato, and the other ones are still lying on the ground. And somehow being okay with that. But also, sometimes, if I don't transport the slugs down the street, I will not have any lettuce tomorrow morning. And so I spend way longer in the early morning not doing my meditation and taking the slugs down the street. Because this time I'd like to have some lettuce. I've lost all my lettuce a few times. Okay, so there's always more to do than we can do. It's not going to come from the thinking mind that with the list. But it's partly through experience and care, like I care about the lettuce. Oh, okay. And it's partly the spontaneity, like, well, there's 100 things to do. I can only do one. I'll do that one. It's all good. And the whole time, the feeling of service of something that I can't do myself. I can't make it come alive. I can't make it grow. I can support. I can enjoy. I can appreciate. I can have fun. Feeling myself a participant in the garden. I'm giving and receiving in the garden. Working, playing. And it's bringing me to a poem that I have for this talk that you've probably heard from me before. That might also kind of speak to this. But do you want to, Claire, is there any more you want to ask, or is that enough? Okay. And Rachel? Did you want to still say something? You sure? Okay. So it's a poem by a Japanese guy. He wore monk's robes, but he did not live the typical monastic life. He lived wild and free. And the poem is translated by a guy named Blythe. I think he might have been from the U.S., who lived in Japan, was friends with the emperor, kind of thing. Here's the poem. If you break the cherry tree, where are the flowers? So this is about our practice. If sometimes you feel like you just want to know how to tell your mom or your neighbor, like, what do you actually do when you meditate? Maybe it's kind of better to have flowers than a broken tree. If you break a cherry tree, where are the flowers? But in the springtime, see how they bloom. The vast flood, in Hebrew? Did you, everybody hear something that sounded like something? So the vast, like, endless flood, there's way too much water. It's taking over. It's swallowing. The vast flood rolls onward, but yield yourself, and it floats you upon it. The vast flood rolls onward, but yield yourself, and it floats you upon it. Receptivity. Yield yourself. Falling back and having less, being swallowed, a softness. Receptivity. Feeling nourishment. So nourishment might be there, but I'm not feeling it unless it's coming in. I'm letting it in. The vast flood rolls onward. Anybody relate to that? How many thoughts per second? For example, how many minutes per hour? How many days of this retreat? How many meditations left? The vast flood rolls onward, but yield yourself. Find a shift of receptivity, of maybe there's a way. And it floats you upon it. Floating. Someone said floating. Floating. The world behaves differently when we're receptive. Seemingly. Things happen differently. Thank you.